This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
Here's the first installment of what will be an ongoing podcast conversation about life after Spartan athletics with former Spartan athletes Tim Bogracus and Todd Duckett. Andre Hudson will join Tim and Todd for future conversations.
Now, this is Tim Bogracus, former MSU basketball player. I'm here with my man, Todd T.J. Duckett, former Spartan great football player. To kick off our Spartan Dog podcast, we're taking an opportunity to give people a chance to find out what former athletes are doing in their business and career lives now. So I'm kicking it over to T.J. Todd.
How you doing? Welcome to the Tim and Todd Show. We are former MSU athletes who have gone and progressed into life. We have families, we have businesses, and we give back to our community. And during this time, our intention is to share with you what our life is like now. We want to bring former MSU athletes back. I'm sure we'll even hear from the administrators and faculty members and other local community members. We'll be able to share some of our life experiences and really be able to give you an impact, or I should say not impact, but show you what how Michigan State has impacted our lives as young adults and what we look at our future to be. Something like that. You know, and where this all comes from, it's Tim and I, we've known each other for a long time. And then once our Michigan State career kind of wrapped up, we didn't talk for a long time. And I went off and worked for a little while and then came back and still came back for games, still hung out on campus, went to as much as Michigan State stuff as I could. So I was able to still keep in contact with Tim a little bit along with other guys. And now we moved back. I moved back. And, I mean, Tim's all over the city doing all type of random things. I'm all over the city doing all type of random things. And just like we would pass each other in the Clarabelle Smith Center, we're passing each other on Grand River. We're passing each other at different foundation events. And now we just want to be able to talk a little bit about our life and share about who we are and what we got going on. So, Tim, what's up, brother?
Myth-wise, I think the fact that we get kind of pigeonholed into being thought of as just athletes, you know, athletics has been a great vehicle for the majority of us to come to Michigan State, and it opened up a tremendous amount of doors for us when it comes to, you know, networking and you know, athletically putting us in big situations where we got to learn from sporting events. But it also put us in contact with other athletes on a daily basis. And like TJ said, we've known each other for about over a decade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think when we first met, we ever thought we'd be reconnecting in this kind of a capacity. You know, everybody really just thought of us as athletes. And then once you leave, that you come back, they still think of you as an athlete. But, you know, we've kind of shifted our focus and we're trying to be impactful to the community that's done so much for us. But it also, you know, open up businesses in the local area. You know, we gravitate towards people you like. And we've been fortunate to meet some great people. And now it's our chance to give back. And I think you'll see that we get as much enjoyment out of being a part of this community as we did as playing sports in it. And the more athletes we get in, I think you'll see the same thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, all listeners, you're going to enjoy the conversations we have. It's going to be real. There may be some talk about sports, so I'm not going to say you can hang your hat on this being a sports talk show. But we want to tell you a little bit about us. And, you know, recently, Tim mentioned about business. And, you know, we're looking at doing businesses and getting involved in our own businesses and partnering with each other. But at 32, that's how old I am, by the way. But at 32, I'm learning business. I'm trying to understand what business is. And yesterday, I had a epiphany, an aha moment, whatever you want to call it. But I realize how big of a business it is and how deep of a business it stretches. And from my point of view, walk with me a little bit. I'm going to tell you where it's coming from.
Okay.
So looking at sports and again, understand what I say and the words that I'm going to speak, they're not to offend anyone. They're not to ruffle any feathers. They're just how I feel. And, you know, I love Michigan State, amazing university. Great place. We have amazing people like Irving Magic Johnson. We have amazing people like Mateen Cleaves, who do a lot of things for the university, who are very involved in the university. But now we're talking about business, and our job as young student athletes was to come to Michigan State and get a degree and to be a part of the football, basketball business. And I never really looked at that, and I never paid attention to the business. I played the game from my passion. I didn't look at it from a business standpoint. But now in the business world, you can't really live off of passion. You got to have business. So knowing that, if I would have understood business in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and understood that education and sports could develop the business, then my business would have been my high school football team. And that business would have been playing games on Friday, practicing as much as we could and being the best we could during the week, and getting the best grades we get. Now, if we have a successful business in high school, there's a chance that we win the state championship. Now, you win the state championship, that means you have one of the best businesses in the state, which means other businesses around the country are going to look at you, which, let's call those colleges. So now colleges go, and no different than any other business, they go and recruit the best employees, student, athletes, whatever you want to call them, to help make their university better, to help educate talent, and help really mold young minds. Now, fast forward a little bit to the business now. College football, college basketball, there's a lot of money being made. There's a lot of business going on. So if you approach business, if your team's the business, and you approach it that way, and let's just say you win the Big Ten, you might get some more people coming to the games. You might sell a few more jerseys. Let's just say you make it to the Final Four and win. You might sell a couple more jerseys, and you might sell a couple more tickets, and the business of the university grows. Now, I said Magic and Mateen earlier because they won national championships. They provided amazing resources for the business of college basketball, for the business of Michigan State. But that's why they're all over the place at Michigan State. There's statues, there's banners, there's everything. Now, don't get me wrong. They worked amazingly hard for that. They did amazing things. They understood what business was early. And the thing is, being a business owner, you're going to come down on your employees because you want them to be successful. No different than a better player talking to their teammate and encouraging them. You might not like playing with me, but we're going to work. We're going to win. And when I'm off 10 years later and you don't like me anymore, you'll be at home looking at your ring and enjoying everything that we went through. And understanding that being the business, you approach everything different. Because the business, to be honest, is only a 3-4 year window for that business.
Do you think the current landscape of college sports, is it more focused? Is there more talk about that, the business side of it, the money that's made, the different media outlets? Because, I mean, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whenever we got to campus, I don't know, as a player, I never heard anybody talk about it in business terms like they do now. Like, they talk about that there wasn't as much talk that I heard of TV contracts. They didn't have a Big Ten network with the revenue splits. You know, that's something we never – that I think the landscape was so much different back then that we never talked about it, and that's probably why we never thought about it.
Exactly. And that being the case, let's take it a step further, because the family, that's another business. So my parents, I was their business. So my parents, they're teachers. A special ed teacher, gym teacher, history teacher, coach. They're not business people. But for me, if I'm their product, have manners, get an education, treat people the right way, and do what you're supposed to. It was never, make sure you get this money. Make sure you do this. It wasn't that. It was have manners, be an amazing young man, get educated, those type of things. So to look at my life, those were my principles that I worked with.
Do you think that the talk of sport now and the money, do you think that we're, as a society, we're completely missing the point that we should be like talking about with college athletes? Is there too much talk and too much media coverage about the business side of sports that it changes the thought process of what a college athlete should be looking at. So as a non-revenue athlete, their mindset is going to be so much different than a revenue sport athlete, because like the rowing team, they're a Big Ten champion, but they're not, they don't win. There's not a business to rowing, so to speak, as a good a Final Four basketball team.
My point is this: you have national world businesses, mm-hmm. and then you have your local mom and pop store. It's still a business.
Yeah.
But it's not the national level. So let's just say football, basketball is like the Walmart of the world. Okay. And then you have Crew, or let's just say that's the local corner store. You know, and again, I'm using references.
Yeah.
But it's still a business. It still has to run. So the Crew team, they still have to have leaders. They still have to have an agenda. They still have to have goals they set. And part of the conversation gets crazy because you do start talking about money. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that I'm really talking about just a different way of looking at the word business, mm-hmm. and the way that, I mean, you got to have strong backbone to be in business. You got to be smart. You got to be prepared. You got to have strong backbone. You got to be smart and prepared to be an athlete. I mean, these are all the same. And I guess for me, being a young pup in the business world, that's the best way I can correlate it. I'm talking to business owners, and a lot of times, a lot of people don't know business owners personally. And then they just know what they see in the business setting. And they're usually strict. They're usually tough. They're not really up. They're about their business. And then you get to talk to them, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're actually a good dude. Oh man, you're a lady who really worked. Wow. But you get to know them. And knowing that, you're not in locker room. People aren't in locker rooms. You don't know. So when you talk to someone, yeah, they might be a good dude, but when I'm on this field, I'm a monster. You see what I'm saying? And that's something that a lot of people, again, this may be, you may know this already. You may have been taught this. You may have learned it before. But I just came up with this yesterday. At 32 years old, it opened a new eyes for me.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're listening to former Spartan athletes Tim Bogracus and Todd Duckett on the inaugural Spartan Dogs podcast.
The maturation process is so different because for us, going through playing those 4 years or 2 years, however long you were, 3 years, I don't even know how long you were here for, should have stayed more. We never were put into a business setting to work during those 4 years.
Didn't think about it.
Because I don't know about, I don't know about the walk-ons on your team, but as a walk-on, as a college basketball player, I thought no doubt in my mind I was going to play professional basketball once I graduated. Mm-hmm. I knew the opportunities in Europe were there. I thought there's no doubt I'm coming out of Michigan State. I'm not going to have anything to worry about. In fact, you don't have time to do – you can't do full-time internships.
Yep, you don't think about it.
So you don't think about it. So I'm the same as you, as I'm kind of – I'm still figuring out my way through – working. I mean, this is really the job I have now is really the first real job I ever had in my life that didn't require me shooting a basket.
Yes.
So I don't know the steps you take in working within the corporate structure. I don't, who you have to talk to, who you have to communicate, how things are run. I just know, like you said, I know how to work within a team.
Yep.
So I think, like, business wise, working within a team in an athletic setting, it prepares us so much more than we really know.
Yes.
But it's hard for people to see that all the time because we don't have a resume to lean back on.
Yes.
My resume when I came out of college said college basketball, a few summer jobs.
Yes.
I filed.
Yes.
I was a really good filer. Actually, I was probably an average filer. I was an average filer. I was pretty good on the internet.
Yeah.
That's all I had. So, like, I'm right there with you as I'm figuring out this whole job thing.
Yeah.
I don't, and I know other guys will say the same thing. We want to start things. We want to be a part of things, yeah. But we don't know the steps to take.
Yep. Yep.
So we're figuring our way out right now.
Yes. Yes.
So I think it's a great way to look at it. I know you said yesterday you had aha moments. So I was waiting for you to share with me what you were talking about, because I always know where our conversations lead.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Todd and Tim. Yeah, totally. I had no clue how it was until I stopped playing professional football. And when I hung it up, they said, all right, well, you're in the business world now. And so I completely forgot everything I learned. I said, okay, let me start all over then. And then the more I started to get involved and be into music, into the different meetings, it was the same protocol. We still had meetings at 7 a.m. You still had to do this. You still had to do those things. The only difference was I had to learn the terminology now. I had to learn what PO means. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn what all these things.
Let me ask you something else, because I'm not sure if everybody knows the kind of the journey you took from the end of your career to now, the last 5 years, basically.
Yeah.
Fighting the built-in stigma around the area that this is TJ Duckett, the football player.
Yeah.
This is TJ Duckett. Because, I mean, to be honest, I heard plenty of people be like, what is he doing right now? Like, is he okay? He's kind of acting weird now? Like, how have you fought that the idea that people have that you're a football player, you're supposed to act this way, you're supposed to be out partying hard all the time, you're supposed to be living this life, and you're not supposed to be sitting outside Myers helping people load their bags into groceries, into their cars. Because I fight the same thing where people, you know, a lot of time they just want to talk to me about basketball.
Yes.
And I love basketball, Michigan State basketball, but I also want people to ask me, how's your job? Like, can I help you grow in this way? So how, and for you, it's been a little more dramatic because, you've gone with the beard and a lot of things have happened in the last 5 years. But I just don't, you know, mine hasn't been as big of a change. But how have you dealt with those people who just look at you and say, this is the guy that caught the pass against Michigan, and now he's pushing my grocery cart for me.
Yep.
I mean, they must have thought that you had hit the bottom and you blew all your money and that you were just begging for change.
Yep. The quick answer is when I was young and I wanted to be a successful athlete, I would tell my friends, no, I'm not hanging out with you here. No, I can't do this. No, I can't go over there. And they would look at me like, what? Why? We're all here. And I'm like, I'm in the weight room. I'm running. I'm whatever. And eventually, it became what I did, and those questions never came up again.
Yeah.
Now, as an adult, you have to reclaim your life again and be like, no, I'm not going to hang out with you, or no, I'm not. And it's different because at 32 years old, or during that time, it was at, 27, 28, during that time, because you had success, everyone substitutes success for smartness too. So everyone thought, well, you should know what you're doing. You should know what your life should be like. And I didn't. I had no clue. I stopped playing football. I went through a depression. I was in a depression for about a year and a half trying to figure out what in the heck am I on this earth for.
It's the scariest thing ever because all of a sudden you're no longer what you've been for me with basketball. I probably started playing when I was 4 or 5 years old, and then my career's done it. Like you, 26, 27, for 20-plus years, I was a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden like that, now I'm just a regular – now what do I do?
Yep.
And who do you fall back on?
You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out because no one's saying, hey, hold on. You don't have coach or you don't have academic advisor. You don't have counselors doing all – you have to – become a man, to be honest. Those are keys when you have to become a man. You start to sacrifice things. You start to stand up for things. You start to have a belief. And then when you have a belief that this is why you are, who you are, who the purpose, then you do start to blaze your own trail. And usually around that time, you might have found a partner. You might have had a child. So it's not about you anymore. It's about your family.
Yeah.
And in those moments, I didn't have a family. Yeah. The community was my family. I mean, the East Lansing, Okemos, Hazlitt, and that's the beauty of being a Michigan State athlete is the love that you get from the community here. And the only thing that I could think of to return the love was to give and serve, was to start to volunteer. And then as I started to volunteer, I got some looks like, why are you here? And
I remember seeing young people being like, what's wrong with him? And he's doing his own thing now. This is his new.
I got some looks.
We talked about it, so I knew what you were doing.
Yeah,
but still,
yeah.
People were like, man, what's happening here? But it's figuring out your why again.
Why, exactly.
My why was playing sports.
Yep.
That's what I did. That was my passion. And then I got done, and I'm like, No, I don't have a why.
Exactly. And no one's asking you saying, hey, let's do this or I can help you. It's kind of like.
Yeah. It's figuring out. I don't know. What's your one more? What's going to make you put that next foot forward?
Yeah. And then that's when I spent my life watching professional football players. So when I started trying to redefine, recreate who I am, I had to figure out what do I believe in, which took me back to my parents' business that they created for me is morals, helping, being a great man. And then now you start to say, okay, I get it, but everyone keeps saying this business word because you got to make money.
The problem is, though, the people, like with you going back to look at football players, like a lot of those guys – aren't the greatest people for us to look at and use as role models, you know? We see it every day almost in the news that there's a different athlete. But for us, those are our role models growing up. So, like, if I'd have grown up looking up to Warren Buffett, I'd have a completely different view of the world instead of growing up looking at Michael Jordan.
Well, and I can tell you from the football standpoint, that was the most beneficial thing being drafted by the Atlanta Falcons was playing alongside Warrick Dunn. I mean, there are so many stories of athletes that do horrible, terrible things, and not enough of amazing athletes like Warrick Dunn. I mean, to be 21 years old with money, fresh money, and a new experience, and to have an old school vet like Warrick Dunn sitting next to you, just I'm absorbed. I'm watching him. He's giving houses away. Warrick, why are you giving houses away? Hearing a story. Okay. Seeing him practice, and the whole time I was there, I never saw Warrick Dunn take a knee at any point. And I just was like, I mean, that was amazing. So to see just him, the way he carried himself, gave me a whole new inside look at a professional athlete. Now, seeing how he carried himself made me think, okay, maybe I need a charity. And then I was like, so what are you passionate about? Well, my mother passed from cancer. That was a motivational thing for me. That's something that really touched me. Why don't we help other people like that? And then I started to understand the platform, but I didn't understand it all. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And now here we are. It's just putting together past experiences, putting together what we want to do. And it's all of us together. All of us Spartan Dogs are trying to figure that out together. And that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to be doing. We think that this is going to be a positive thing for the whole entire community.
What? Because I was having this conversation with somebody the other day as an athlete running on the court to play a game in front of 15, 20,000 people you don't even blink an eye. For football, 75, 80,000 people. But when you try to put yourself out there in front of maybe five people doing something completely different, I think I was talking to somebody about karaoke, and I was like, man, if I went to sing karaoke in front of 10 people, I'd be terrified. But I could run on the court and shoot the ball. How did you overcome? I mean, because for me, it's just like experiencing that fear and just going into it and just saying, you know, this is something I got to do to get better, and accepting it. That's just it. Done.
But you answer your question. And the thing is, translating that same energy, that same thought process into a different arena. And the sad part is, when we were kids playing in front of 10 people, we were so nervous and so scared. And then we learned some skills, made some mistakes. And in that time, they're like, it's okay. You can drop that ball or miss that shot or fun. It's okay. And then you get older, you start to perfect your craft. And 10 people turns into 20, turns into junior high, turns into high school, turns into college, turns into pros. Now, we're like 10 years old again. We're 11 years old trying to be like, what the heck are we doing? And as we do these things, we're going to make mistakes. They're going to be more magnified because we're older, which is also the reason why we have fear to move forward. So if you can just put all that aside, if you can say, I'm not scared, fear doesn't live here, and this is my new passion, and I'm going to take my time to get there, and I'm going to dedicate as much time and effort as I did for my game, my craft, for my business family game craft now. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the main things I've taken from sport is the idea of not being afraid of failure.
Yeah.
I think for failure to me, it doesn't define a person.
No.
It's an outcome to an event. So failure isn't a characteristic. Like there's no such thing as a person who is a failure in life. I failed at something, but from that is the only way to succeed.
But see, even that's what sports brought that to us because for me, for football, Sunday in college, Sunday through Thursday, Friday, it was about how many times could you fail, How much pressure can you work under? How much stress can you take to be able to perform on Saturday in a high capacity in front of a lot of people and be able to really execute? So now we have to find that same thing. And by finding that same thing, we have to be our own coach. Mm-hmm. We have to be creating our own problems to solve, or just taking our life. And as we, okay, there's something happened that you don't like today. Well, why did that happen today? Did I do something wrong? Look at it from their point of view. Maybe I am wrong. And if I am I going to be man enough to own up to it, to fix it, to say I'm sorry, to say I love you? Am I going to be man enough to do that? And when we start to do that, and it takes just one time, then you start to build strength. And then it's twice, and then it's three times. And then all of a sudden, you're empowered, and now someone's saying, wow, what? Your name's Todd now? What in the heck?
I had more trouble explaining to people who Todd Duckett was. I'm like, you know Todd. You've met him like 100 times. Like, Todd Duckett. I'm like, yeah, you know the guy? He played football. Yeah. Oh, TJ. So I think let's wrap up with this. If there's one thing that you've taken from your sports experience, mm-hmm. that has really resonated going forward with everything we're doing now,
yeah.
what would it be?
I'm prepared. I'm prepared, focused, and ready. And I, from the Kalamazoo Public School System to Michigan State University, they have gave me amazing skills. They have gave me amazing contacts, and they have gave me amazing power and courage to be who I am to this day. And now to this day, it's time to really put it out there. It's time to show what we've learned. It's time to show that, yes, we were athletes, but now we are men. And as men, this is what we will do.
That's powerful. We're going to end on that. But thank you guys for listening.
Thank you all. We'll be back shortly.
Tim McGrath is Todd Duckett, Spartan Dog Podcast.
Go green.
Go white.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
To hear that Spartan Dogs podcast again featuring former Spartan athletes Tim Bogracus and Todd Duckett, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Guy Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
MSU Today is online at SpartanPodcast.com. Here's Russ White.
Here's Michigan State University President Luana Simon and Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis with former Spartan basketball player Lauren H.
Well, Lauren, it's it doesn't seem that long ago I was watching you run up and down the basketball court, and now here you are, and it's with great pride that I sit back and watch what you're doing with your life. Meaningful, impactful activities that are changing the world in a positive way. And you kind of jumped into it right out of college.
Yeah, I did. And thank you. I appreciate that. Those are the very sweet words. I appreciate that. But yeah, I did. When I went over to play basketball, you know, I came back and I felt like, you know, I had a little shift in my life. And I really I'm excited about what's to come. And, you know, I'm building in the different areas of the foundation and business. So
I don't think you've really probably figured out what you're going to do when you grow up yet. But I think you've done an unbelievable job of laying a foundation and groundwork and have exceeded what people many, many, many years beyond what you've done, you've accomplished, you've put in place, mm-hmm. you've impacted communities, you've impacted our mid-Michigan. You know, what started as the first encounter I can remember was the runway, the fashion show, and pulling people together from all walks of life, a lot of athletes, but also a lot of people across campus. Mm-hmm. And tell us what you've done growing from there.
Oh, goodness. Well, from the first year, you know, it was kind of like a dream of mine, and being able to come back and do something for Michigan State was, I mean, I bleed green. My dad went here, and, you know, it's something I've, you know, was just really excited to be here playing at State.
Your dad didn't just go here. He was a legend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it was, you know, one of those things that, you know, I really wanted to do when I was overseas, you know, speaking to a lot of different people back here and kind of getting them together to do something that tied in fashion as well as, you know, a thing that impacts many lives is cancer. You know, it was really exciting to do, and just the buy-in from the university and other people was, I mean, it was humbling for me and really exciting. But since then, you know, I'm just really excited about what this year is bringing, because we have teamed up with MSU Advancement, and we're going to do a match program where we're going to give $15,000, and they're going to match $15,000 for a $30,000 grant for a grad student to expand research in the hidden cancer area or either develop their own research. So I'm really excited about that. And what we've found that with the foundation is that, you know, really to fight cancer or to make a difference or effectively and efficiently make a difference is to go at it in a kind of a two-goal type of setting where you're building research in these technologies to find screening devices, as well as the advocacy piece of it, where you're, you know, really trying to build in advocacy days where you're bringing people in to get screened, you know. So I think, though, that two-tier goal is really a way to help in fighting against the disease, and the fashion show is just a platform to build that, and as well as bringing, you know, different people back to model in it. So it's, I mean, it's very exciting, and what God's opened up has just been amazing. So
I want to shift gears a little bit. If we think about headlines in the newspaper and the need to keep young people in Greater Lansing and have them be entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And you fit both a young person by the definition of the, and you're an entrepreneur, yes, in addition to the work you're doing around cancer and fashion. So tell me what it's like to be an entrepreneur and start your own business.
Oh, wow. Well, well, you know, I kind of the shift from being an athlete to an entrepreneur has been very interesting. I kind of, you know, every single day it's like, you know, you find your wins, like you find different things, and sometimes you lose, you know, and that's kind of what I've kind of been able to balance with. But going into doing custom suits for women has been very interesting, because rather than going into the clothing industry at like maybe making dresses or like things that are not as intricate, I of course went to the hardest type of garment that you can create for humans. So, you know, I as going through this past year and, you know, making suits for some different ladies like Susie Merchant and a couple other ladies around the area, you know, I've just learned, you know, all the different parts of putting an actual garment together. It's been a blessing, but I've just learned so much of in the different areas. You know, obviously, you know, you need support from the community, and, you know, and building in it, the way I went at it is not necessarily what you do to build a clothing line, but it's unique in the way that I've done it, and I think that I'm going to be able to build from it, and I think that, you know, the line is something that I want to use to grow in that area of, you know, helping women who are a little bit taller, you know the side of, you know, the basketball coaches and things like that. So building it here, I believe you grow where you plant it, so building it here has been really, you know, helpful and supportive for me, and being able to tie it into the fashion show as well, and being able to bring it all together was really important to me, so that it all stays in line, so it doesn't feel like I'm doing too much. It's all still kind of in the same vein.
I think one of the things that you commented on is that oftentimes entrepreneurship is viewed as risk-taking, And more often than not, it's working through bad spots.
Yes.
Because yes. you have a good idea. You mm-hmm. wouldn't really start it without mm-hmm. having a good business plan. So right. you have to have some analytical sense and an idea.
Right, right.
But this capacity to sort of get through, both mm-hmm. see small wins, as you've said, and also mm-hmm. be able to plow through those mm-hmm. difficult periods without losing your dream are one right. of the things that people talk about in all these entrepreneurship programs.
Right.
And you think athletics really helped you in doing that?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. There's so many different characteristics that you learn and you build through athletics, like, you know, just, you know, being on time management, just, you know, discipline, you know, being able to stick to it. I mean, throughout a season, I mean, you see that. I mean, even watching the teams this year, like, you see that throughout a season. It's a journey. It's not, like, you start at the beginning, and there's ups and downs, and it's not always going to be easy. And being able to learn that as a player was always so, you know, influential to me. It's just, you know, and even in dealings with relationship building, you know, with your teammates, with people in the community, you know, just building with different people has been something that you're able to learn as an athlete. And I think I learned that from Michigan State. And even with the transition when I was here, there was a lot, you know, a lot of different people, new people coming in, you know, with the new coaches and,
yeah.
and just a lot of different changes that happened within the university when I was here. And, you know, you have to learn new people and learn new like whole complete new programs and tech, you know, different things that you have to do as a player. And I think that has definitely helped me in the side of business. So.
So let me stay with the business, and we'll do a little promo for you here because it has to. You know, we don't pay you anything to be on our program. But What's your webpage? So tell us about your company and what its name is.
Okay.
And, you know, and
okay, okay.
and you know, sort of. You talked a bit about the kind of things that you do, but you do custom suits.
Yeah, we do custom suits, and then we also do undershirts for women. That's called Our Own. They're two businesses, but it's under Lady H, and the undershirts are to protect your garments from, you know, sweating, body oils. It's for women, and it's, you get the performance out of the actual garment, the garment's fabric as well as the design of it. And I actually made it for Coach Merchant because she was, you know, sweating through her suits and things like that. So it was something kind of that came out of necessity, but
yeah.
it'll be able to help a lot of women. So we do that. That's ourownproducts.com, and then we have Lady H Design, this LadyH.com, and then the HFoundation.com. So it's pretty simple. They're not too difficult, but that's kind of the scope of what we do. I mean the custom suits is, you know, we have women come in and they pick out their fabrics, they pick out whatever design or, you know, suit that they like, and we're able to build their pattern from what their body chemistry, what their measurements are, and then we kind of go from there. So that's, I mean, it's a process, but, you know, women are usually very happy with it because it fits their body like a glove, and, you know, it's nice to have that and be able to come back and say, I want this color pant, or I want this color shirt, or whatever it is, and it'd be able to be fit to your body.
So it does require at least a trip to Lansing.
Oh, yes, it does require a trip to Lansing, but we're working on, you know, methods to be able to expand that. So it's, you know, it's been this year in building, but we're looking to be able to expand that and to get it to other coaches and things like
so
that.
So I think that one of the things that, to, again, give your business a bit of a plug, and if so you can watch Susie on the sideline
yeah.
and get a sense of the design
mm-hmm.
alternatives,
yeah.
And it's very hard to find elegant and functional suits.
Yes, functional. That's the big thing. Yes.
And to still have some sense of elegance and a classic line. And
mm-hmm.
I think you've achieved that in what you've done. So
mm-hmm.
you're to be commended for that. And,
oh, thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
the work
you.
That you've done. So,
mm-hmm.
But I want to switch one more time, then let Mark finish up here. In the question of, you had an overseas experience after
yes.
you left,
mm-hmm.
left college.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Michigan State prepared you to go overseas, not just to play basketball,
mm-hmm.
but to really engage in a
right.
international culture?
Well, I have to say, well, you know, I always wanted to play overseas. It's something I wanted to do. You know, I think, you know, being able to come to Michigan State, get my undergrad, and then get my master's with my last year here, I felt that I was prepared to kind of go over there and be able to, you know, meet new people in a new culture, be able to have conversations with people. And, you know, just, I mean, with the Comm Art School, I had a couple international teachers, you know, learning about design and things like that. And in Copenhagen, they're like the fashion capital, so they're big about design. So it was a really nice, you know, fit. And when I was over there, I felt very comfortable. And they, in Denmark, they speak English, because, you know, Denmark is about the size of Michigan, and, you know, they have to be able to do business outside. Right. So, you know, that was an easy transition. But being able to go over there and learn the culture was really exciting. And I think that the different cultures that we hear at Michigan State, I think, allowed me to be able to do that comfortably.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as you go, I'm going to take you back to your business, back to the United States for a minute, back to Michigan.
Right.
Who's influenced the choices that you've made as far as going into the career of fashion, and have you had any conversations or input from other Spartans that are in the business, like Kevin Willis and Ralph Walker, who played during my era, are in pretty much the same line of business down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie Johnson, of course, has a line with Magic out in L.A. But have you had any interaction with them, or who are the people that influence you to go in this direction?
Well, you know, I wanted to start fashion when I was young. When I was overseas, I was influenced by the culture. But coming back and finding out about the many people that are actually in fashion, you know, I Willis, I was somebody who I met, you know, just recently, you know, and I had a conversation with him, you know, a little bit about what he does, and just kind of getting some information about, you know, how he kind of navigated it. You know, I'm kind of going into this, I'm not necessarily somebody who went and made millions, but I'm kind of navigating it in my own. But mm-hmm. I mean, these are all people that I want to reach out to when I get to a point. But, you know, I think those are all, you know, people that, you know, I aspire to meet and to talk to about some of the things that I'm doing and how they've gotten to where they're at. So even in the sense of just really being able to sit down and talk with them, just see how they got there, you know, because that's always knowledge and wisdom that you want to do to be able to grow. So I've kind of gotten to this fashion, you know, industry, I learning it first and then being able to find out who's doing it was the next step, and that's what I've done. And just some of the people that you've mentioned, you know, I've just now learning about them more. And you know, it's like, you know, kind of, you know, strategically thinking about, you know, what do I want to learn from them, and how do I want to do it is kind of the next step. So it's just building in that direction.
I'm gonna close with two open-ended questions.
Okay.
One is an aspiring high school athlete who's looking, mm-hmm. whether it be women's basketball or any sport,
mm-hmm.
advice you'd give them from make sure you appreciate this while you're going through college, mm-hmm. while you're competing as a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
The second is, if you were to give advice to those in the NCAA, Big Ten, mm-hmm. an institution, consider doing this for student athletes. So two very open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer those two?
Okay. Well, the first one, as a high school athlete, aspiring to become a college athlete, advice that I would give them is just beginning to get into the fundamentals of your sport and finding out about, you know, what are the things that I can get better in. Because when you come into college, a coach is going to be looking at you as a puzzle piece, and that's how it's supposed to be as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're coming into college, you really want to have your fundamentals in the areas that you're good at down, and allowing them to grow you and build you as an athlete when you get to college. So, and I think that really coming into college, there's really nothing that you can prepare yourself for. It's, you have to go through the experience, but understand that the experience is going to grow you, and being flexible, and not, because I mean, I went through a lot of changes when I was at State, and being able to be flexible was one of the things that allowed me to continue and not to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that if you're a high schooler, if you understand that you're going to have to work hard, it's not going to be easy, but understanding that you're going to get so much out of it in the end is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to the athletes that are in school right now and what to get from the university is really to use your resources to you know, get the most out of your college career, and understanding that, you know, when you're on the court, you are doing it for your future, and understand that when you're on the court, it's what's going to better you to go forward, and it's not necessarily if you're mad at that time about at the coach, or if you're mad at a teammate, you know,
or the athletic director,
Yes. Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're right. any of those things. You have to always revert back to this is for you to build you into the person that you need to be in the future, and it's so much more than that certain moment or that moment where you get angry and yeah. seeing past that, because it's 4 years of your life, and really, you know, look to learn from your classes, learn from, you know, get that degree. I mean, because that's something that no one can ever take away from you.
Yep.
You know, I mean wins and things like that, those are things you can look back on, but no one can ever take a degree away from you. So I think that, you know, as an athlete, being able to leave school with a master's and being able to have that, you know, you're able to really start going into life rather than having to backtrack, you know. And I think that, you know, that sometimes that stifles people. And I think that as an athlete, we have the ability to get your degree, get it paid for, and also be healthy by working out and doing things for yourself because of what you've worked for. So don't give up what you worked for because of a mad instance or a stupid thing. So,
right. Mm-hmm. How about advice for those of us that are in this business, that lead, that are at the NCAA, that are at the Big Ten?
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to leaders in college sports?
Leaders in college sports for the future.
From a student-athlete perspective.
Student-athlete perspective. Okay. I think right now, being able to... Oh, goodness.
Stumping you, huh?
That's a really good question. I mean, from that viewpoint, I think being able to continue to allow athletes to interact with each other. I mean, I think it's great that the NCAA is allowing, you know, players to go support other players at at games. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing. I think allowing you know, teams and athletes to be really engaged in different things within the university and just allowing them just to grow as players. I mean, I really think right now they do a great job of promotion of players and also like looking at the stories, the different stories within the teams. You know, I think, you know, it builds players and it gives them different confidence in different areas that maybe, you know, they're lacking at a certain point in the season. You know, I think the Big Ten Network was an amazing leap and bound for Big Ten, just basketball in general. You know, being able to, I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't necessarily get to see, you know, a lot of games on television.
But now not only do you see the games, you see the stories and you see the individuals, and it's
you're more connected to that. And I think you know, I think really, you know, obviously our team is really engaged in the community, and I think, you know making it easy for, you know, the players to be engaged in the community but still be able to be focused on what they're supposed to be doing and what they're supposed to be getting done. I think that that just builds character. Yeah. You know, I think anything that builds character for the student athletes is the most important, because I think as players, sometimes you maybe lose touch of that in certain senses, but you know, anything that will continue to build the player as character and bring them back around to, okay, what can you learn from this situation, you know, rather than, you know, just kind of getting through it, but like, what can you learn from these situations or what happens at that time? So it's like, it's tangible, like, okay, this is what happened, but this is what you can learn from, this is how it can be applied in real life.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes it more real to life, I think, because it's that sometimes when I was playing, like, you know, something would happen, but, you know, I don't revert back to that certain time, and so since I'm out of it now, I revert back to that time, like, oh, that was the lesson,
right?
You know, oh, that was how it's going to relate to real life, you know, that type of thing. But if there's ways and such that it can be taught right at that moment,
it all comes together at some point in your life.
But if there's some way at those certain instances where you're like, oh, I know the lesson right now, or you're able just even if you just say it, and then maybe it comes to them a couple months down the line, but even at that moment, I mean, it'll help that player grow and get over that hump and you know, and be able to continue to win. I mean, that's the goal, is like, you want to win and you want to continue to do that, but if you're able to get over that hump because you see the lesson in it real quick, and you're able to keep going, I mean, I don't know how you do that, but I think that would just, I mean, help a lot of college athletes really, you know, and become team players, you know? And so I think if there's a way to do that, I know there is, it would be very advantageous for the player and the university to build that in.
Well, you continue to shine. I think we're going to have you back for part two.
Okay.
The sequel. But thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
And
we're
so proud of what you do. Michigan State, you continue to shine.
Thank you so much. Thanks, I appreciate it.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
That was former Spartan basketball player Lauren H. talking with Spartans Athletic Director Mark Hollis and Michigan State University President Luanna Simon. To hear their conversation again, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
The program is MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association with some observations from the Spartan life. We love our comfort zones. Even an uncomfortable status quo is preferable to the unknown. But things change. We outgrow a job, or the job outgrows us. Our relationship ends. A health crisis appears. Or the sting of an unhappy current reality becomes so great that we are forced to step outside of our self-imposed boundaries. This is one of life's great ironies. We often fight to stay inside the box when the very thing we need to fuel our future lies on the outside. This week, make a list of the things that are keeping you inside your comfort zone. How many of them are self-imposed? Every single one. The next chapter of your life's adventure will be written with or without your direct involvement. Maybe it's time to imagine what that chapter might be if your uncomfortable comfort zone didn't exist. As I was researching this week's message, I discovered this anonymous poem, which I've customized just for you. I hope it gets you thinking about those self-imposed limitations and the opportunities that lie beyond them. I used to have a comfort zone where I knew I wouldn't fail. The same four walls and busy work were really more like jail. I longed so much to do the things I'd never done before, but stayed inside my comfort zone and paced the same old floor. I didn't want to build the traits successful people share. I watched my friends advance and thrive, pretending not to care. I claimed to be so busy with the things inside the zone, but deep inside, I longed for something special of my own. I couldn't let my life go by just watching others grow. I held my breath, I stepped outside, and let the changes flow. I took a step, and with new strength I'd never felt before, I kissed my comfort zone goodbye and closed and locked the door. If you're in a comfort zone, afraid to venture out, remember that our heroes were at one time filled with doubt. A step or two and words of praise can make your dreams come true. Reach for your future with a smile. Happiness is there for you. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Learn more about Spartans Helping Spartans at alumni.msu.edu.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
MSU Today every Sunday at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR. Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.